Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for words and their stories and people in America. Coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, welcome to As It Is. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Ana Mateo. Today, we hear about efforts by the African Union to stop the group known as the Lord's Resistance Army.
But first, we hear about the intense demand for food aid in areas of conflict. The United Nations World Food Program uses airplanes to bring food to those in need. Katie Weaver tells us about this service.
The World Food Program says the increasing number of conflicts in the first half of this year has created a huge demand for food aid. The WFP says it has had to use airplanes to transport 50 times more food this year than in the first half of last year. The planes drop food into areas that are difficult to reach by land. The group's air service is called UNHAS, the UN Humanitarian Air Service. UNHAS planes carry food to people who cannot be reached by roads or rivers. UNHAS has transported about 7,600 tons of food so far this year. The planes have also flown more than 1,000 tons of supplies and equipment to 21 countries for the WFP and other aid groups. More than 90% of the supplies were sent to just three countries, the Central African Republic, South Sudan, and Syria. Conflicts in these countries have displaced millions of people. The fighting has blocked many humanitarian groups from providing aid to many communities. Cesar Arroyo is the WFP's flight chief. He says conflict, a lack of passable roads, and heavy rain has forced groups to fly food to people in three areas in the northern part of South Sudan. He says more than 3 million people in South Sudan are in need of food. He says about half of them cannot be easily reached and need help immediately. Mr. Arroyo says it is about 6 to 8 times more costly to transport food and other supplies by air than by road. He says it costs $1 billion a year to use emergency transport planes to carry food and other supplies to areas of South Sudan. He says it costs $40 million to fly such aid to Syrians in need.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. We now turn to a conflict in the heart of Africa.
African Union officials say the AU is making progress in its fight against the Lord's Resistance Army. But officials say they need more money to carry out the campaign. Without more resources, they say, the AU's regional task force may need more time to stop LRA leader Joseph Kony and his army. Katie Weaver has more.
The Lord's Resistance Army was once known for seeking to overthrow the government of Uganda and its president, Yoweri Museveni. The LRA became famous for burning villages, kidnapping children, and displacing thousands of people. But a military officer says the formation of the regional task force weakened the guerrilla group. The task force has several bases in Uganda, South Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Central African Republic. All four countries offered troops for operations against the LRA. Lieutenant General Samuel Karuma talks about efforts to stop the group.
We've been reducing their strength. That is by killing some of them and capturing some of them, to the level of killing number two in the hierarchy of their leadership, and so many other top commanders. And some of the top commanders also have defected.
LRA guerrillas started operating in South Sudan after the group was forced out of Uganda. Observers believe the LRA is now split into five main groups and operates mainly in the CAR and the DRC. The group hides food and other supplies there. The task force countries promised a total of 5,000 soldiers, 2,000 from Uganda, and 1,000 from each of the other three countries. But a Ugandan commander says none of the countries has been able to provide the promised troops. Political unrest, violent conflict, and a lack of resources prevented countries from sending the troops needed to fight the LRA. The United States military is providing air support. The U.S. Africa Command, known as AFRICOM, also provides training. The African Union approved the task force, but did not provide an order or mandate for it. That means there is no financial support, and donors must provide everything needed. General Karuma says there are many issues because the LRA fighters are always on the move. The Joint Intelligence Operations Center collects and studies all information about the LRA. The center is based in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Agents gather intelligence from captured LRA fighters or from people who left the group. The LRA also released several women and children in August and September. AU officials say this is another sign the group is getting weaker. Intelligence experts think the LRA has between 300 and 500 fighters. They say the group continues to earn money from sales of elephant ivory in the DRC. They say the fighters move freely in areas with small populations. Troops from the affected countries rarely inspect those areas. I'm Katie Weaver.
That's our program for today. I'm Mario Ritter.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
We recently received our supply of VOA wall calendars for 2015. To get your calendar, simply send an email to us at learningenglish@voanews.com or write to VOA Learning English, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA.
Be sure to include your mailing address when you write. And tell us what radio station you are listening to and the time of the broadcast. So write to us today.
Words and Their Stories is next, followed by People in America. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. The English language has a number of hard-working words. People use these words in many different ways and in many different expressions.
One such example is the word matter. As a matter of fact, matter can mean just about anything. When talking about science, matter is the material or substance that things are made of.
In fact, matter could be one of the most useful words in the English language. But that is just a matter of opinion. Actually, it is more than that. Matter is one of those words that matter a lot.
Let us take a minute and really get to the heart of the matter. In other words, let's get to the most important part. Or it could be what we call a matter of principle.
Let's say someone claims that you owe them $50, but you don't. A friend might say, well, you could pay him the $50. It's not that much money. Then you won't have to hear him complain anymore. But if you do not owe him the money, do not pay him the money. It's a matter of principle.
Your friend raises a good point. It's not the amount of money that is important. It's a matter of principle.
Now let us get back to two more scientific meanings of matter. Scientists say that dark matter makes up most of our universe. And when people talk about gray matter, they are talking about the brain.
There is another way to use the word matter, but be careful with your choice of words.
If you ask someone, "What's the matter?" it shows you are concerned about the other person. You usually ask someone, "What's the matter?" if the person looks angry or worried.
But saying, "What's the matter with you?" has a completely different meaning, and it usually sounds rude or offensive.
In fact, when you say, "What's the matter with you?" you are not really asking what is wrong with the person. You are suggesting that the individual did something wrong or stupid. So be careful with that one.
Another expression that could sound rude is to say, "It doesn't matter to me." Here, it depends on the context or situation and how you say it.
Here are two examples. Let's say you tell someone that a friend just got a big raise at work and will be making a lot more money. That person answers with, "It doesn't matter to me." Here, it means he or she does not care, and it sounds rude. But saying, "Oh, you pick where we eat dinner, it doesn't matter to me," does not sound rude or offensive.
In this context and tone of voice, "it doesn't matter" shows you are easygoing and are willing to do what the other person wants.
No matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, no matter what you say, matter is a very hard-working word.
Now it is time to take matters into your own hands. Try using these expressions with the word matter.
It's only a matter of time before you will become an expert on the use of matter. And as for this program, this matter is closed.
You can find more Words and Their Stories on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Anna Mateo. Go to our website and practice using these matter expressions in the comment section. Or simply practice by saying what matters.
I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Bob Doty with People in America in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about Eunice Kennedy Shriver. She was a member of one of the most famous families in American politics. She used her influence to make a difference in the lives of millions of people. Though she never ran for office, she spent her life energetically working to improve the lives of people with developmental problems. Eunice Shriver was best known for creating the Special Olympics, an athletic event for people with mental disabilities. Her efforts changed the way the world thinks about the mentally disabled.
You are the stars, and the world is watching you. By your presence, you send a message to every village, every city, every nation. A message of hope, a message of victory. The right to play on any playing field, you have earned it. The right to study in any school, you have earned it. The right to hold a job, you have earned it. The right to be anyone's neighbor, you have earned it.
That was Eunice Kennedy Shriver speaking at the 1987 Special Olympics Games in South Bend, Indiana. She was a thin and energetic woman with a huge smile and great spirit. Ms. Shriver officially became involved in helping people with developmental problems when she became the executive vice president of a family organization in 1957. The Joseph P. Kennedy Jr. Foundation was created in 1946 to honor her oldest brother, who died fighting in World War II. Under her guidance, the foundation turned its attention to studying the causes of mental disabilities. It also sought to improve the way society treats people with such disabilities. The foundation also started centers for the study of medical ethics at Harvard University and Georgetown University.
Eunice Shriver and her family had a personal reason to be interested in this issue. Her older sister, Rosemary Kennedy, was born mentally retarded. As Rosemary grew older, she became increasingly difficult to live with and supervise. When she was in her 20s, her father arranged for her to have an operation on her brain to improve her mental condition. But the operation left her completely disabled. Her family later sent her to a care center, where she lived until her death in 2005.
In the past, mental disability was generally treated as a shameful and hopeless disease. Many families secretly sent their disabled children to grow up in institutions, and there were almost no community activities, resources, or jobs for the mentally disabled. They were shut away with little respect and few civil rights. Eunice Shriver changed this. She showed the world that the mentally disabled could be useful citizens enjoying rich lives.
Eunice Mary Kennedy was born in Brookline, Massachusetts in 1921. She was the fifth of nine children born to the Irish Catholic family of Joseph and Rose Kennedy. Her grandfather was John Fitzgerald, who served as mayor of Boston, Massachusetts, and as a lawmaker. Eunice's father was a wealthy businessman with powerful connections.
the Kennedys raised their children to be highly intelligent and highly competitive.
Eunice Kennedy Shriver once said that her father's advice to his children was to win. He said that coming in second or third did not count, but one had to win, win, win. Mr. Kennedy also told his friends that his sons would one day run for president. And he was right. John F. Kennedy became president in 1961 and served until his murder 2 years later. Robert Kennedy, a senator, ran for president in 1968 and was killed that same year. Edward Kennedy never won the presidency, but became a long-serving and important member of the United States Senate.
Eunice Shriver also carried on the family tradition of public service. She graduated in 1943 with a sociology degree from Stanford University in California. She worked for different organizations as a social worker before working for her family's foundation. Over the years, she also worked for the political campaigns of her brothers, John, Robert, and Edward. In 1953, she married R. Sargent Shriver. They had five children, Robert, Maria, Timothy, Mark, and Anthony.
Under the administration of John F. Kennedy, Eunice Shriver continued her work for her foundation. She influenced her brother to create a committee to study developmental disabilities. This effort led to the creation of the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development at the National Institutes of Health. In 1962, Ms. Shriver published an important article in the Saturday Evening Post called Hope for Retarded Children. She wrote openly about her sister Rosemary's condition. For years, this had been a closely guarded family secret. Eunice Shriver used Rosemary as an example of how not to treat people with disabilities. Instead, she said people with mental disabilities needed to be treated as useful citizens and given special education and training. She said family members of disabled people had few resources for community support or medical help. She gave examples of parents who struggled to make a better life for their disabled children.
Think of the families, think of the mothers who love their children, but feel so desperately alone. Their children have done nothing wrong, committed no crime, and perpetuated no injustice. They are the world's most innocent victims, and they suffer only because they are different.
Ms. Shriver also opened a summer camp that was free of cost for mentally retarded children. The idea for it came when a mother told her that there were no summer camps where she could send her disabled child. So Eunice Shriver did something about it. She started Camp Shriver at her home in Maryland to give disabled children a fun summer program filled with physical activities. Non-disabled children were also welcome to join the camp. She made sure there were a large number of workers to give the necessary attention to all the kids. And she asked students from private schools to volunteer at the camp as helpers. Ms. Shriver was directly involved in all parts of the camp. She would often swim and play ball with the children.
Don't keep them away from something that can change their lives and give them a new vision and give their parents a new vision of them just because they don't want somebody in the community to say, oh, my child, your child is special.
In 1968, Eunice Shriver organized the first Special Olympics in Chicago, Illinois.
In ancient Rome, the gladiators went into the arena with these words on their lips. Let me win. But if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. Today, all of you young athletes are in the arena. Many of you will win. But even more important, I know you will be brave and bring credit to your parents and to your country. Let us begin the Olympics. Thank you.
About 1,000 competitors from 26 states and Canada took part in the event. They competed in running, swimming, and hockey. The idea of permitting mentally disabled people to compete in sports was revolutionary at the time. Before, people with special needs were often prevented from physical activity out of concern that they would hurt themselves or be unable to compete. Ms. Shriver said that the Special Olympics proved a very important fact, that exceptional children with mental retardation can be exceptional athletes. Today, the Special Olympics has grown to include about 3 million athletes in more than 150 countries.
Let us not forget that we have miles to go to overturn the prejudice and oppression facing the world's 180 million citizens with intellectual disabilities.
Eunice Kennedy Shriver continued to work for the disabled in other ways. She created an organization called Community of Caring. It works to reduce teenage pregnancies and educate students about creating caring and respectful communities. Ms. Shriver received many awards for her work. These include the French Legion of Honor and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, America's highest civilian honor. Eunice Kennedy Shriver died in August of 2009 after her daughter's husband, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, said that she was the light of the family. And he said her pioneering work for social and scientific improvements changed the lives of millions of developmentally disabled people all over the world.
This program was written and produced by Dana Demange. For transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our shows, go to voaspecialenglish.com. I'm Faith Lapidus.
And I'm Bob Doty. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.